We're very privileged to be able to stand as a church with various organizations throughout the world and see the hope of Jesus be lived out and brought to so many people. And to think our church here in this corner of Surrey is able to have an impact over on the other side of the ocean is just a phenomenal thing. And so Dalit Freedom Network is not new to many of us here. We were honored to have the director of DFN speak to us a few years back. And I know we had handed out those little pots as a reminder to prayer. And my, at the time, she's junior high now, but elementary school girl just prayed for those kids many times at night. And that was just such a blessing to me. We have this morning with us the South India director, Pastor Kumar. And he was speaking this week as well, right here in Surrey, on Monday night at a women's event. And my wife and many of you women were able to be there, and I just heard just incredible things about that night. So we're really looking forward to hearing from you this morning. Pastor Kumar, if you would like to come up here, and let's give him a welcome as he comes and speaks to us here this morning.
It is such a joy and a privilege for me this morning to be worship the Lord with you all, and what an honor, what a privilege it is for us on behalf of Dalit Freedom Network Canada, and I bring greetings to you all from the people, DFN people in India, and it's such a assurance, sweet assurance to know that God's people here in this part of the world is praying for our country, this needy nation. And on behalf of, once again, DFN Canada, DFN India, we want to express our heartfelt gratitude to you, brothers and sisters, here in Coast Hills Community Church. Pastor Wayne, such a privilege to be here in your church and have this pulpit to just share what God is doing in the land of India today. And we have the Canadian DFN National Executive Director, Sherry Bailey, and Carmichael's, some senior leaders, and Maxine, who works with DFN Canada. And we are really, really grateful to you for having us this morning to worship the Lord, the living Lord. And such a privilege for me, because the series which Pastor has declared here in your church to know what God is doing around the world, especially this important subject of Christianity and other faiths. And I really believe this is God's timing for me to be here and to just declare how Christianity is making an impact, as Pastor rightly said, other part of the world, across the ocean, there in the land of India, especially among the Dalits of India today. And I'm physically here to just declare this wonderful work of God in our land today, and among the Dalit children especially. My heart goes out with gratitude to God. And it's happening because of God's people around the world, like yourself, praying here. Like Pastor's daughter praying she sees the little cup that depicts the plight of Dalits in India today. That just gives a picture of what Dalits and the agony which they go through as the untouchables of our country. And such a joy and a privilege to be here this morning, and even to declare open this series, frequently asked questions. What about Christianity and other faiths? And, such a privilege to know our God and beautiful worship. These wonderful songs reminding us the greatness of our God. And, what a blessed privilege it is for me to standing with you, even though I am from a different part of the world. The heathen world, the Hindu world, the Dalit world, but I could stand with you as brothers and sisters and sing and worship this wonderful God, declaring truly how great He is. And such a joy and such a privilege to be part of His God's, His family, His international family. So I am truly privileged this morning to worship the Lord together with you, brothers and sisters. As we discuss this subject of what about Christianity and other faith, and here I am coming from another world, another faith. Hinduism has been claimed as one of the largest possibly the third largest religion in the country today. Over 1.2 billion people, according to one of the statistics, from different parts of the world who belong to this religion. And of course, as I come and share about this religion, I'm also going to talk about what God is doing in this religion, what God is doing among the people of India today, and especially among a group called Dalits. As you all are aware, there are 250 million Dalits in our country today who are viewed as untouchables, who are seen as the people it was better that they were not born, unborn, unwanted, untouchables. That's what the titles are given to this 250 million. One-fourth of India's population suffer on a daily basis of being viewed as Dalits, being viewed as untouchables, unwanted, unborn. And thanks to caste system, which is spreading this lie that because they were born in a particular caste, they are untouchables. Branded as impure from the moment they are born, one-fourth of India's population suffer as lesser human beings, as lesser than animals in our country today, friends. For me, this is modern apartheid. This is modern slavery. This is modern racism in our country, which goes on unabated on a daily basis in our nation. And it shocks me to core to realize that not many people in the globe are aware of this heinous, barbaric crime which goes on in our country. And that's why I really feel it's my privilege to come and expose the other side of India, not the India which you normally hear or see in the newspaper, not the India which you normally hear, the economically booming India, the exploding IT world in our country. This is another India, the hidden slavery of our nation, which I am just sharing this morning with you. And such a privilege once again to have DFN Canada standing with us as a major partners to see the Dalits of India educated, empowered, emancipated. And such a privilege also to recognize and realize that Coast Hill Community Church is coming along as our partners, very important partner, this important journey of declaring freedom to the Dalits of India. 330 million gods, Hindus believe, that there are existing in their religion and they worship. So that gives you a picture how the Hindus are actually seeking God. They are God conscious, all right. They are religious conscious, all right. But sadly, unfortunately, they do not know the Lord whom you and I worship this morning. They do not know this Lord who created the whole heaven and earth. As the beautiful hymn reminds, that God's glory is displayed, demonstrated in the creation. Sad that our people worship the creation than the Creator. And what a privilege for you and me this morning to know that we belong to this wonderful God and His family, not only just in this part of the world, and there are family of God in other parts of the world, including India. Hinduism was born in India. Majority of our country's people worship idols, stones, river, fire, you name them, they worship. Because Hindus believe that God is in everything, so everything becomes God for them. And not only Hinduism, as you may be aware, there are one or two other major religions which were born in our country. Buddhism was actually born in India. And now it has spread, as you know, to many other Southeastern Asian countries. And it's growing, it's thriving, Buddhism. There's another religion which was born in our country called Jainism. That is also growing in our country. That is also making a big impact even among certain people in our country. Sikhism, which you see so many people in Surrey, the Sikh community going around, and one or two of the Sikh community people I understand are here as well who accepted Christ, and I thank God for that. Sikhism was born in India. Islam is one of the largest growing religion in our country, friends. I saw the statistics the other day that India arguably has the largest Muslim population in the world today. We have just overtaken Indonesia. So India is a land of religion as you see it. But Hinduism is playing havoc in our country today. Because it in Hinduism, the caste system which says that because a group of people are born in a particular caste, they are worse than animals. Caste system for me is the most evil, most sinister, most diabolic system existing in our world today which humanity has ever seen. This is most sophisticated evil design because it says because you are born in a particular caste, you are worse than an animal. Caste system for me, friends, is the single largest, longest evil system existing in our world which humanity has ever seen. This is modern slavery in our country because caste system. And this caste system says 250 million, one-fourth of India's population, you are worthless, you are worth for nothing. And caste system also says there is a very heinous barbaric practice in our country. It's called temple prostitution. Caste system, Hinduism says, if you dedicate your girls as prostitutes, as temple prostitutes, you will go to heaven. I have met many of the parents of these temple prostitutes in our country. When I ask them, why do you do this? Why did you ever do this heinous, barbaric crime of dedicating your little girls to this goddess as prostitutes? The parents, to my shock, they respond and reply saying, oh, the priest told us that if we dedicate our girls as prostitutes in the temple, we will go to heaven. Look at the deception of this Hinduism. Look at this evil design of caste system, friends. This is India for you today. And we have a statistic which says that there are 250,000 temple prostitutes in India today. And Dalit Freedom Network helps us to reach out to such people and tell them that there is a God who loves them, cares for them. Human trafficking, as I was sharing the other night, Monday night, is a major issue in our country today, friends. I do not know how many of you are aware. Human trafficking literally playing havoc in our nation. Official statistics says close to 2 million women and children are trafficked out of India annually. Majority of them are, as you can imagine, are Dalits. And to my shock, I also learned that good number of them are trafficked into United States and Northern America as well, Canada as well. Human trafficking, possibly, arguably, the largest revenue-generating illicit trade in our country today. It's estimated that there are 1.2 million child prostitutes in India today under the age of 14. Thanks to caste system, Hinduism, which is playing havoc in the lives of these little girls. Here is another shocking, stunning statistic which broke my heart when I saw it recently. It says that by year 2025, in India, our country, one out of five children will be a prostitute. That should break our hearts. I have a girl who is 16, my daughter is 16, and I understand as a father how the parents will feel to see their children serving evil men for a momentary pleasure in the red light districts of India. One out of five children will be a child prostitute in India by year 2025. Friends, this is India for you. This is Hinduism for you. This is caste system for you. which says that Dalits are only worthy to do all the menial, dirty jobs. This dehumanizing, demeaning, the constant discrimination which goes out every day, this enslavement, this exploitation, which is a daily agony of these human beings in our country today. Caste system, that's why I declare, is the most evil form of mental, spiritual, physical slavery. The agony which these girls go through as child prostitutes, I met a few of them. The mental torture, the trauma, it is untold, unexplainable, indescribable. This is caste system for you. This is Hinduism for you. But this morning it is a privilege for us to declare to you that God is doing something unusual among these people. I'm excited to tell you that this is God's time for the land of India, we believe. This heathen nation, this Hindu nation, this underprivileged, unfortunate, untouchables, God is doing something unusual. Even though the gospel came to India 2,000 years ago, the tradition says, Apostle Thomas brought the gospel to India. But Christianity remained as a minority religion for the last almost 2,000 years, I would say. But today, as the Dalits are coming to Christ in a big number, Christianity is exploding, growing. Church is advancing, marching in the land of today, in the land of India today. I come from a Dalit background myself. I can testify to this wonderful grace of God. I can openly declare to the grace of God, the saving power of God, to this God whom we just declared this morning, He is great. My mom used to tell we are Dalits, untouchables. I heard my mom even telling repeatedly we are subhumans. You can imagine how I would have felt when I heard my own mother telling me we are not human beings, subhumans. I remember when I was around 11 years old, I was playing cricket with some of my friends. And we used to play against this upper caste team. And there was an upper caste Brahmin boy. And this Brahmin boy, as you know, among Hindus, there are four layers of caste, as you may be aware. The topmost caste he belongs to. And accidentally, I bumped into him as I was playing. He became very upset. Being an untouchable, I cannot touch him. And he yelled at me saying, "You dirty Dalit dog." I had a cricket bat in my hand as I was playing. It's like your baseball bat. I took him and gave him a whack, actually. He was hurt. He was bleeding. And immediately there was a big commotion in the village. And everybody, all his friends, relatives came. Within no time, nearly 100 of them gathered. And they held me responsible for doing this heinous, unpardonable crime of beating an upper caste boy. And they said, in the next 24 hours, we have to leave that place, vacate that village, relocate somewhere else. My parents were shocked. They were in tears. But we had to do what we were told. Friends, that left a very deep hurt wound in my heart. That was the first time I started asking this 330 million Hindu gods saying, "Why did you all create me as Dalit? Why I am an untouchable, subhuman?" No answer, as you can imagine. That's Hinduism. They have eyes, they cannot see. They have ears, cannot hear. This is Hinduism. This is the other faith. As you can imagine, I was a very depressed, disillusioned young person seeking where there is God, seeking why I am a Dalit. And every Dalit today even doing that, as you can imagine. This quest for God, this quest for freedom for me is the single largest quest for human dignity. That's what the Dalits are of. Around 17 years old, when I was, I met my elder brother again one day. He came with a big beaming smile and he told, "Kumar, there is an end for all our misery and suffering. We will be not Dalits anymore," he declared. I said, "How is it possible? What happened?" My brother told, he accepted Jesus Christ. He became a follower of Christ. I said, how did that happen? He said he was walking on the street and he saw a group of young people standing joyfully singing like your worship team here. And he stood there, heard their songs, and they were probably singing How Great Thou Art, whatever song. And then he stood there and heard about this God and he accepted Jesus Christ. And they gave him a Bible and pointed out to him a verse, and he brought the Bible home and he opened the first page of the Bible and he pointed out to me that verse and declares that verse says that I am created in the image of God. Genesis 1:27. I said, wow, I never heard this good news entire life of mine. I was told I am a Dalit, I am a subhuman, untouchable, unwanted, unborn, unfortunate, underprivileged. When my brother declared that God created me in his image, I told my brother, I want this God. And friends, that's how I became a Christian that evening. And such a privilege to be in God's family, I said earlier. Otherwise, I would not be standing here with Coast Hills pulpit and declaring that I also belong to the same God. And that is what exactly every Dalit in our country, these 250 million Dalits, are longing to hear. Looking forward to hear that whether somebody would tell them that there is a God who loves them. And they are created in his image, in his likeness. Because in Hinduism, Dalits were told another story of creation, sadly, that God created human beings unequally. Some people he created out of his head, Brahmins, priests. Some people he created out of his arms, warrior caste. Some people he created out of his thighs, business caste. Some people he created out of his legs, OBC we say, or Sudra, other backward caste. And the Dalits, not part of the caste system. Untouchables, subhumans. When a Dalit hears a message that there is a God who loves them and created them in his image, they want to grab this God. And what a privilege it is for us there to declare to these Dalits, these children, these prostitutes, these rag pickers, that there is a God who created them and he loves them. And in a moment, we want to show you a video clip which will explain you what God is doing, especially among the Dalit community, especially the Dalit girls who are viewed as subhumans, animals, good for only raping and using for sexual pleasures by the upper caste, and how God touches their lives and changes their lives, transforms their lives, where these girls will find there is a God who is great, who created them in his image. And this video clip is one of our ministries. Dalit Freedom Network is supporting. And I'm so happy to declare that my wife is very passionate to reach out these trafficked girls. And here is a story of a girl who was rescued by the help of Dalit Freedom Network and your prayers. Please have a look at this and you will see what God is doing in India today.
It's been said the most beautiful people are those who've known defeat, known suffering, known struggle, and have found their way out of the depths. Rupa Raju is one of them.
I've had a difficult life since my childhood and experienced more horrible things than most people my age.
You see, at a young age, Rupa was forced by her parents to join the ranks of India's so-called rag pickers. These are men, women, and young children who rummage through filthy garbage heaps in the cities of India, looking for anything that can be recycled and sold. Plastic, bottles, metal parts, pieces of glass, rotting discarded food.
My day started at 4 or 5 in the morning, and I picked trash for 10 to 12 hours.
On a good day, she'd earn about $2, and that was a good day. Here on the streets, where dogs were her only companion, and millions of squirming maggots, flies, rats, and crows, a constant distraction, she'd compete with other rag pickers for a few scraps.
When I got older, my mother told me I wasn't bringing in enough money picking trash, so I was forced to sleep with men to bring more money. I became a prostitute.
With tears welling up in her eyes, she describes the rage she felt toward her parents.
I thought of running away. I didn't trust my parents. How could they do such a thing to me? I was angry. I wanted to kill them. I wanted something terrible to happen to them.
Rupa is a Dalit, a so-called untouchable. Indian society labels Dalits lowest of the low, impure, less than human. Almost all rag pickers are Dalits. And like her, many young girls end up as prostitutes or get caught in a web of human trafficking.
When I think about it, I begin to cry.
But that's the past. Tonight's graduation night, and Rupa is all smiles.
The Rupa of old is not the Rupa you see today. I cannot begin to explain to you what God has done in my life.
She has God and Jivalin Kumar to thank for her transformation and this momentous evening.
We really look forward to this night because we see our women being liberated, being emancipated.
Jivalin Kumar runs Tarika Women's Center, a Christian ministry that takes in, rehabilitates, and empowers scores of young women at risk. Almost 2 years ago, Rupa came to the center looking for help. Here, she got counseling, learned how to speak English, took sewing and computer classes, and eventually had her dignity restored. She also met dozens of other young women like herself who had similar life experiences.
What I like to personally communicate to them is that I would never ever give up on any one of those women, no matter how many times they fall, because I know it is a struggle for them.
Today, the Tarika Center is just one of a handful of Christian ministries operating here in India, trying desperately to rescue thousands of Dalit women from human trafficking and sexual bondage. For many of these victims, such ministries are a lifeline to a better future.
Rupa says it was at the center she discovered with great delight her worth in God's eyes.
I come from a Hindu background. I knew very little about Jesus Christ. When I came to Tarika, I started reading the Bible and then understood what freedom really means and how much I mean to God.
Ultimately, it's the Bible's view of them that Kumar says brings lasting transformation.
They can't believe it because all these years they've been told that they are lower than animals. And here we are telling them that they are created in the image of God. And that just hits them, that just blows them away.
On a recent Friday evening, Rupa joined 105 women on stage for a graduation ceremony honoring their completion of an 18-month course at Tarika. And sitting in the audience that night were Rupa's mother and father. They told CBN News this was the proudest moment of their lives.
The Tarika Center has done a great job. My daughter is a different person.
I feel bad for the things we did to her, but now I want her to study well and have a good future.
And perhaps it's this image of Rupa holding her father's hand that speaks volumes of one life transformed by the power of the gospel. She told CBN News later she's forgiven her parents for forcing her into prostitution.
Every night before I go to bed, I thank God for Tarika Center. I thank God for rescuing me from my past.
These days she works as a confidence sales assistant in a large department store located on the most famous shopping street in this city. Same street, by the way, where she once picked trash. Her real desire, though, is to minister to broken and abused young women.
There are many people who took care of me and showed love to me. I want to do the same for others. That will make me happy.
George Thomas, CBN News, Bangalore, India.
So friends, this will give an idea of what is God doing in the land among the Dalit girls. And such a powerful mission and ministry, satisfying ministry it is to see the smile back into these girls who were easily child prostitutes, child beggars, rag pickers, child laborers in our country today. And we request you to kindly pray for this mission. especially for my wife, sometimes had challenges. People call her, some of these pimps where we rescued the girls, threaten her life. This goes on and on in India. Even the churches in India, as you would know, persecution is on in our country. Anybody comes from a Hindu background, from Dalit background, accepting Christ, and they're constantly being threatened. In fact, one of the statistics says that every week, 3 churches in India are attacked, persecuted. So this is India for you. But as I said, God is at work in our nation today. In the midst of persecution, church is growing. In the midst of opposition, gospel is advancing in our country today. But what a beautiful ministry it is to see these girls smiling, accepting Christ. Even through our schools, as you know, in the year 2000, some of you are aware of this wonderful story. Around 800 top Dalit leaders gathered together. And this was the historic first ever meeting of Dalit leaders and Christians interacting with them in the city of Hyderabad where I was. And as we asked these Dalit leaders, what is the felt need of Dalit community? What is the real need we as Christians want you all to have and do? They all responded and replied with one voice saying, please free our children. Educate our children. Because we lived in illiteracy. We lived as slaves. Our generation lived for the 3,000 years as slaves. But we don't want our children to perish as slaves. So please take them. Give them Christian worldview. Tell about your God who loves them and cares for them. And as you know, then it dawned on us with Dalit Freedom Network in India that we launched out this wonderful mission of educating the Dalit children, freeing them. Education brings freedom to them. It brings emancipation to them eventually. So that's why we are involved in, that's why we are seeking the help of God's people in different parts of the world to come and stand with us in this greatest quest for freedom, in this greatest quest for human dignity. So these children will be freed with a message of hope. And such a privilege it is to see these girls freed in our schools, because our schools serve as a preventive measure. As you all are aware, we are having currently around 107 schools catering to around 25,000 Dalit children. Multiply rupa into 25,000. And that's what God is doing in our country. And it's all happening because somebody cares for them and provides this wonderful education and frees them. And they are freed forever, in my opinion. 2 weeks ago, I was traveling with one of our graduates in the United States. Her name is Pranita. She is one of our graduates. Pranita was a Dalit, constantly going through this discrimination in public school. But when she joined our school, and the whole world was, you know, different for her. And now today she is studying for medicine and she'll be a doctor in 4 years' time. And this is what God is doing in the lives of these Dalit children. And here is one more example of what God is doing in our country today. I was talking to a Dalit leader 2 months ago. He called me saying, come over, I want to talk to you something urgent. And I went to him and met him. He was the leader of around 5 million manual scavengers, we call. People, Dalits, who are involved in cleaning the human excrement, cleaning the dry latrines and toilets. 5 million of them in his area. And he told me, Kumar, I don't want my people to remain in Hinduism. We are declaring this as quit Hinduism movement. And he says, I don't want my people to go to other faiths. We have open challenges for other faiths to come and join. I don't want my people to go to Buddhism because this is another form of Hinduism. I don't want my people to go to Islam. It is connected with terrorism. And he says, I want my people to go to your faith, Christian faith. And I said, sir, why do you say that? He says, because only in Christianity I found there is equality, there is dignity, there is true liberty, he says. That is his words. And I said, okay, how many of your people will come to Christian faith. He says, in the first phase, I want at least 100,000 people to come to Jesus Christ. He says, I almost fell off my chair, actually. 100,000 people. Imagine, Pastor, 100,000 people turning to your door today. That's the need in India today, friends. That's what God is doing. Christianity for us is a faith where there is dignity, equality, and a true liberty. And that's what Hinduism is not offering. It's telling that God created human beings unequally. And of course, I came to know later that this man was influenced to Christianity by his own daughter, this Dalit leader's daughter. She came to Christ first and she influenced him, this little girl. And today that girl is living in Toronto. And Sherry and I are going to talk to them and just pull them in to accommodate, facilitate this unusual move of God in our country. This is God at work in our nation today. And one more final story and I'm going to close to tell what Christianity is impacting our country. Islam, as I said, is the largest growing, one of the largest growing religion in our nation. I have many Muslim friends and some of my friends called me, Kumar, just come and we want to talk to you. So I went, met them and they said, we heard that you went from Dalit background to Jesus Christ. We were also Dalits. Majority of the Muslims in India are Dalits. And we from Dalit background went to Islam, but we are disappointed. But can you come and tell our friends what made you to go to Christianity, to Jesus Christ? I said, sure, I am here just for that. I'll be happy to come and share with you. So they fixed a place, a time for me to go. When I reached the venue, friends, I couldn't believe. There were at least 100,000 Muslims gathered there in a stadium to hear my testimony. I have that video clip there. You can see it later. Of course, I thought that is the end of my life. I will not go alive from that meeting. And I said, Jesus, I am ready. But when I stood there and shared how Jesus Christ liberated me, delivered me, gave me that dignity, I couldn't believe, friends, they were just clapping and just welcoming it. As I got down from the podium, as you can imagine, they literally mobbed me asking my address, my card, and they want to meet me. And as a result, our churches are filled with many Muslim converts in India today. This is again our God at work in the land of India today. That's why we believe this is God's time. That's why we believe that in order to cope up this huge inflow of people coming to Christ, we need your prayers. We need your involvement. We need your partnership to help these Dalit girls so that they will be freed. They will find Jesus Christ in our schools. Not only they learn academics, but they find that there is a God who loves them. And Coast Hill Community Church, I believe that you have that potential to be our champions, our partners, our ambassadors, our voice for these voiceless victims of India today. With your potential, with your prayers, with your sacrificial giving, I believe that you can make a difference in India. Coast Hills, you can break the caste hills of India. That's what you can do. And that's why I'm sending this plea to you, requesting you to stand with us in prayers so that we will change this nation of India, transform this nation of India, transform this heathen Hindu world for His glory. So with your prayers and help, with your support, we believe we can put an end to the slavery in India and make the slavery a history for His glory. God bless you all. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Pastor Kumar. What a powerful story of the truth that sets you free. What a great name for their organization, the Dalit Freedom Network. And we know that that is what we all experience when we come to this person of Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. And what a practical illustration and a story of people coming through that gate, coming to know the way Jesus and how Jesus sets them free. Powerful. Thank you. Did I understand correctly? Was it 25,000 Dalit children? How many children in your schools? Wow. These are the Good Shepherd schools that this organization is building, and it's just a powerful thing. God does powerful works at different times and in different places, and we're praying for that right here in Canada, and that's why Coast Hills exists. We know, though, that in India, God is doing a powerful work there, just hearing your stories of the opportunity for the truth about Jesus to be presented to people. Before the service, Pastor Kumar and I were talking a little bit. I said, you know, when I was 16, 30 years ago, I was in India with a teen missions organization. We built some houses, and I was in the city of Hyderabad. And he said, Hyderabad, he says, and you're an MB church, are you? He says, I knew an MB missionary. I said, and he says, Henry Petker. And I said, oh, I met him. What a small world, out of a billion people. And God brings us together, a common person who is working for years and years in India. And I believe that God has put a groundwork there. And now there is this incredible turning to Jesus that is happening. It's just powerful. So thank you for that incredible word. I want to invite the worship team up. And I will close in prayer here. And I want to invite you to stand. And we'll pray together. Lord, I just want to thank you. I thank you for what you are doing all over the world, for stories like this wonderful young woman in India whose life is transformed, whose life has been touched by the practical love of Kumar's wife and so many others, Lord, who just enter into this world and be the hands and feet of Jesus. I thank you for the dignity that you create us with, that we are made in your image, Lord, and for the partnership and the responsibility you give us to reach out in love to others, right in our neighborhood here too, Lord, and help people to understand the truth that sets them free, the truth, Jesus Christ. And we just thank you for that, God. I just pray that we would go from here encouraged this morning to live out that truth in our lives in practical ways. In your name, amen.